Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of Galatians chapter 6, we were taught that we have a responsibility for our family to have power with God to get our prayers answered. Let's continue that important thought today. It's your child. That is your personal responsibility before God. It may be the pastor's prayer will do no good. Someone else's prayer will do no good. But rather, since that's your child, since you're a Christian, your life should be such that God would hear your prayer. And if a doctor walked out of the surgery room and said, only a prayer will save your child now, let me ask you something. Do you have power with God? Is there power with God that He would hear your prayer? Or is there sin in your life that you're unwilling to forsake? Sin in your life that you're unwilling to turn from it. You see, you have a responsibility. Now, God may not answer many people praying for them because you're disobeying them. Remember the man that said, oh, I have so many people praying for my loved one. I have so many people praying for them. And that man's not in God's house. Now, he's claimed to be a Christian. Not in God's house. Somewhat of a filthy mouth. But not in God's house. Not walking with God. And he said, I've asked people all across this country to pray. It doesn't matter. It's our sin that so often that keeps our prayer from being heard. Read through the Proverbs and you'll find that out. So we see how walking in the flesh can hinder your prayers and thereby your home and your church as well as yourself, and make us incapable of doing the outward work of restoring such a one who's in a fault, because we ourselves and our heart are in a fault. But we can't restore them to a right walk with God because we're not really where we ought to be. And we can't do it in the spirit of meekness. And so, the truth of the matter is that we've turned God's grace into lasciviousness, as Jude 4 points out in those works of the flesh back there in chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. In one form or another, are religiousized, and so therefore trying to justify it in our hearts and minds. Oh, my friend, the application of walking in the Spirit is needful for the outward effect in your local church and in your family. That is the outward application of lifting the burdens that you can lift others while trusting God for the ones you must bear yourself in your personal life. So before we go on to verses 6 through 10, let me just stop at this point and begin to ask now, Christian, where are you with the Lord? Where are you with the Lord? Is there sin in your life that you just enjoy and you get down on the preacher, you get up down on the church, stands against it, and you won't even go to that church anymore? My friend, that will not change the personal responsibility before God. It won't change it at all. And my friend, one day you're going to stand before God and you're going to give an account. And yet God wants to work in your life. He wants to do a special work for you. What's it going to take to get right with God? We look at our country and say, boy, our country's in trouble. Oh, don't expect our country to turn if you as a Christian aren't willing to turn from the sin. Some of you are naming the name of Christ. You drink. Some of you will be justifying casual marijuana if you're not already. Some are involved or have been involved in adulterous relationships of which you are unrepentant. And you think God is going to turn this country around by the way you vote? Oh, no, my friend. It's not going to happen that way. We as Christians have to get right with God first. It's possible for God to save a country, but it won't happen until we start getting right with God in our personal lives and in our personal walk with God, and allowing Him to be manifested in us and through us, and to realize that we are not our own, but we've been bought with a price, the blood of Jesus Christ. So my Christian friend, why don't you, right where you are right now, just get on your knees and ask the Lord to forgive you, to cleanse you. Get back in church, a good Bible-preaching church, and begin to serve God. But stay in the Word, stay in the Word, stay in the Word. Pray, 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 and seek the face of God. Get to know the Lord so well that His voice speaking to your heart is just as familiar to you as the voice of your spouse is speaking to your ear. Won't you do that? Oh, I hope that you will. And I hope that you'll do that soon. I hope that'll become the purpose of your life, is to serve God, and that for Christ to be all in all. You may be listening today, and you've listened over the last few days, and you're not even sure you're going to heaven. You say, Pastor, I've done so many bad things in my life, and I've really, I just don't see how God could forgive me. Well, don't call God a liar. He said, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Let me tell you something. Remember Mary Magdalene? She had had seven devils. In other words, she was a witch, and God saved her. There was a woman taken in adultery in the very act, and He saved that repentant soul. There was a woman at the well that had had five husbands, and the man that she was living with now was not her husband. But you see, God saved him. And as He says in Acts chapter 10, what God has cleansed, don't call it unclean. Oh, don't call it common. Oh, no. He'll save you. He'll cleanse you by the blood before His blood was shed for every sin you ever have or that you ever will commit. My friend, He died for you. He loves you. I think of the thief on the cross. Oh, boy, the guy was never baptized. He never joined a church, didn't get a chance to do any good works. But that day, he realized Jesus Christ definitely was the Christ, God come in the flesh. And He says, when you come to your kingdom, remember me. Lord, oh, today you're going to be with me in paradise. And He saved that soul that day on the cross. We think of Paul, who agreed to the murder of the preacher Stephen. And God saved that murderer. David made sure that Uriah, the Hittite, would die in battle so they could have his wife, and he committed adultery with his wife. But God cleansed David too. My friend, God will save you. He'll save you, and He'll take the power of that sin from you. Will you come to Him today? See, Jesus died for your sin, paid the penalty in full, so your realization must be this. First of all, I'm a sinner. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. There's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:10. Realize and admit I'm a sinner, that I cannot save myself. I need a Savior. I can't do it by myself. I can't do it with help. Someone has to save me on their own. My friend, Jesus Christ is that one. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, just like we are, Christ died for us. We read in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, Jesus Christ not only died bodily on a cross for your sins, but He was buried, and 3 days later He rose up from the dead physically because He wanted to save your soul. He went to heaven to prepare a place, and He is coming again. And He'll come into your heart and life as your Lord and your Savior. And by the way, that's how you're receiving Him. He's God. He's Lord. He's Savior. And He'll do that. He'll do that for you. Yours is to repent. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he's appointed a day in which he'll judge the world by that man, to whom he's given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised that man from the dead, that is Jesus Christ. Yes, you're saved through Christ and Christ alone. That's why he said in Acts 4:12, there is none other name given among men whereby you must be saved. We read in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. You can be saved. You can have eternal life abiding in you. You can be cleansed of your sin today. And he wants to do that for you. And he said, for whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But that based on, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, not to your righteousness, but to the righteousness of Christ. And with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. You know, there's sin I can't get rid of. And so I turn to him. The Bible likens salvation to marriage. When you're getting married, you may have dated 5, 6 people in the past, and even seriously, each one of you. But when you get married, when that lady gets married, she's turning from all those other suitors and turning unto the one. And my friend, that's what we're doing. We're not depending on our works. We're not depending on our religious thoughts and activities, but rather we're just turning to Christ and Christ alone for our salvation and depending solely on him. And he said that if you'll come to him, he'll in no wise cast you out, John 6:37. Will you call upon him to save you today? I'm going to form a prayer in a moment here, and the prayer that I form would only be words if you didn't mean it. But if you mean this, would you just pray this prayer right where you are right now? Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I need forgiveness. Please forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood and died for all my sin. I am willing for you to cleanse me of all my sin. I right now invite Jesus Christ into my life as my Lord, as my God, as my Savior. Save me right now. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. My friend, if you just prayed that prayer and you meant it, would you let us know? We have on our website, we've redone our booklet on building blocks, and just go there and it'll tell you how to grow in your new Christian life. Tell somebody about the decision that you've made. Let us know. Maybe if you do have a church home, tell the pastor. If that's not a Bible preaching church, then look, whether you Google it or Yellow Pages or however you do it, for a church that is fundamental, independent, Baptist, sticking by this King James Bible. Its music's not this rock and roll stuff. And just decide, hey, I'm going all out for the holy Jesus of the Bible. Tell them the decision that you've made, and they'll help you in your next step. Well, I want to thank you for listening today to the Lamp and Light broadcast. Please ask others to listen, because that's how the Lamp and Light grows. And my friend, please allow the lamp of God's Word to be the light that you follow today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation.